Welcome to the Asbury First United Methodist Church weekly sermon. We hope you enjoy this message by Jackie Nelson. For more information about this podcast or for other ways to connect, please visit asburyfirst.org.
Friends, it has been said that without reflection, we go recklessly on our way, creating more unintended consequences and failing to achieve anything useful. And in full transparency, in the last 2 weeks alone, I have found myself desperate for a space for reflection, for a space where we didn't need to push past the pain or to avoid the atrocities or even to figure out how to fix it. It being all of the things happening in our world right now as we speak. And so today, I am inviting us to take some time to just reflect, to engage a few moments of internal and communal reflection, to worship as a community, and to consider what it is that we are being called to do. And perhaps in the end, our work in here will lead to our commitment to create additional spaces for reflection out there. Let us pray. God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be both pleasing and acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Last week, the author of This Here Flesh and the curator of Black Liturgies, Cole Arthur Riley, wrote, "Protect the part of you that still winces at pain. Refuse to become too familiar with tragedy. Our souls were made to stir." She then charges us to inhale and say, "I won't rush from pain." And exhale and say, "Grief is an honoring." To inhale, "I will not become numb." And to exhale and say, "I'll stay human." And friends, in a world where we are so quick to move on from things, where we are so quick to throw ourselves into work and other tasks to stop us from having to sit with the reality of things, and where we are quick to throw around cliches like "this too shall pass" or "no weapon formed against you will prosper," I think we could really use the reminder that we are human, that there are some things with which we need to just sit, and that acting like things are okay doesn't actually mean things are okay, and that for many, the weapons have formed, and they are, in fact, prospering. And so again, we could really use the reminder that we are human. And perhaps one way to lean into this is to acknowledge that from the personal to the communal, to the political and to the systemic, we are all hurting and things are not okay. There is a lot going on around us, and as a result, there is a lot weighing on our hearts and our minds. From the recent and prolonged attacks on human life, to the barriers of access to care and wellness, to climate change, death, disease, and dis-ease, to economic and educational disparities, fake news and false hope, genocide, grief and greed, hate in all its forms, intimate partner violence, job loss and security, kids, online safety, and our struggle to protect them, laws that infringe on human rights. To marriage challenges, marginalization, and microaggressions, to narrow-minded ideals and ideologies, outdated theologies and oppressive systems, police brutality, patronizing leaders, and pain. To quarreling that happens among loved ones and questionable behaviors from those we trust, to religious abuse and the impact of religious trauma, to state-sanctioned violence, silent leaders and savior complexes, to terrorism, untimely deaths, violence, war, xenophobia, yearnings for something different, and even Zoom fatigue, misplaced or misguided zeal, and public-facing people that don't know when to just zip it. There is a lot to take in, and friends, while this list is not meant to be exhaustive, it is certainly exhausting, and I don't share it to overwhelm us, but to instead remind us that within and beyond our own reality, so many things demand our attention and care. And while I would love, friends, to put it aside and pretend that some of it doesn't exist, I also recognize the privilege it is to even have that option. You see, someone in this world is trying to figure out where their next meal will come from. Others are trying to figure out how to avoid eviction and displacement. And still others are trying to remain hopeful when all they see around them is rubble and horrific images of life stolen from those they love, communities crushed, dreams delayed and destroyed, and glimpses of hope gone. And so we sit with that list today, remembering, of course, that more can be added, but also reflecting on the reality that right now, life for many is exhausting, and at times it is too much to bear. And so perhaps the most human thing we can do right now is to just reflect, to just name our reality, and to remember, friends, that so long as these realities exist, we have things to which we can respond. It is also a reality, however, that we don't always know how to respond in times like these. And so this is the point in my own reflection where I sit in gratitude. Gratitude for the fact that I don't have to figure any of it out alone. Gratitude for the fact that I don't have to figure it out by myself, and that we have the promise of God's presence with us. Gratitude for community like this one, where we can be this honest with one another and where we can turn for both respite and reflection. Gratitude, friends, for the gift of worship and for what it means to commune with God and each other. Gratitude for all the things that are in fact going well and that do feel okay. And gratitude for Scripture, for the ways it comforts us, helps us to see the different ways God has been at work throughout time, and offers sweet reminders that we are never alone. I'm grateful for the times like this week where the lectionary readings and their themes, taken together, guide us well on our journey as disciples and followers of Christ. I encourage you to read them this week. But this week, the readings provide us with manifestations of divine presence. They provide us with sobering reminders of Yahweh's goodness. They provide us with humbling reminders that we are called to be active participants in the work of bringing about justice to this world. And they provide us with balance. Balance of what it means to both wrestle with our humanity and to rely on God in the midst of it all. Taken together, these texts provide us with guidance and instructions for how to be faithful in the midst of all we face in life. Maybe we can just sit with gratitude for a moment. Gratitude for examples like the encounter Moses has with God in Exodus. Because in times of distress and chaos, much like what we are experiencing right now, one of the best reminders we can use is to pray. Not because prayer provides easy or neat solutions, and not as an excuse to passively brush off the things that people are dealing with by just saying, "I'm praying for you," but because prayer in this moment becomes a reminder for us that part of what it means to be faithful is to know to whom we can turn for guidance, and it is a reminder that we are called to be intentional about interceding and advocating for others. Within the Exodus passage, Moses advocates for God's presence to be with the people and for God not to leave them alone. In a bit of a back and forth dialogue where God seemingly denies this request, it is because of Moses' prayer that God eventually says yes, seemingly changes God's mind, and in doing so, supplies Moses with hope. And so perhaps in the midst of all we are facing right now, the things that are personal to us and the things that are particular to others, we ought to be that persistent in our prayers, praying for God's presence to be made known and for glimpses of hope that we can carry with us for the journey ahead. Friends, when is the last time you paused to pray? Perhaps one way we might respond to all that we and our neighbors around the world are facing is to pray without ceasing, to pray one for another, and to do so with the commitment that we will pray until things change. And while change may not always come in the form we hope for, Scripture does remind us that change is still possible and that in all of it, God's presence goes with us and God promises us rest. And so I guess I'm simply trying to say I'm grateful today for the gift of prayer. But the Exodus passage isn't the only one for which I am grateful this morning. While I'm grateful for the reminder that faithfulness requires us to intercede and advocate for others, I'm sure that you, like me, also yearn for other ways to respond to our present realities. And so as we return to the Matthew text, which is printed in your bulletin for today, I express my gratitude for Jesus's reminder that we are also called to give, therefore, to the emperor the things that are the emperor's, and to God the things that are God's. It is a weird way to end such an encounter for sure, but maybe it has something to offer us as well. After a malicious and manipulative conversation about paying taxes, this response from Jesus, it is a bit vague and it does seem evasive, but friends, it is also enlightening. In this response, you see, Jesus refuses to participate in whatever game the Pharisees are playing, and in an act of resistance, he shifts the conversation in such a way that keeps the kingdom of God in view. And the kingdom of God, as we know it, is one that centers on love and justice. Instead of ignoring the reality that as humans we have both civil and spiritual responsibilities, Jesus says, do what is required of you, and do what is required of you by God. So perhaps more important than the debate over which one is more significant or which one should occupy most of our attention is making sure that we are clear about what it is that we are called and required to do. And so as I think about that in the context of life right now, I think together we can agree that our civil requirements are pretty clear. I don't think that's the part we struggle with. Instead, perhaps we should be asking, and what does the Lord require? In other words, what does it mean to be faithful in the midst of all we face right now? Perhaps a reading of Matthew 22 for today is one that calls for us to ask ourselves whether or not we are clear about the things that are God's. When we read, give to the emperor the things that are the emperor's and give to God the things that are God's, are we as clear, friends, about the latter as we are about the former? Let's think about it this way. Are we mindful, for example, of whether Jesus would call us hypocrites too? Are there ways in which we prioritize everything else over honoring God? Have we been complicit in systems of oppression? Do we give our money and our resources to institutions that aid in the oppression of others? Are we journeying through life, literally or figuratively, bearing images of anyone else but God? Do our actions, our language, and our mindset reflect what it means to be made in the image of God? Do we love our neighbor? Do we call out injustice of all kinds? Or do we hide behind religious rhetoric that causes more harm than good? Do our lives truly reflect the Jesus that we proclaim? Do we show up to every aspect of life that we engage with the values and virtues that God teaches us as our foundation? Put simply, friends, can people look at us and catch a glimpse of the divine within us? What does the Lord require? Now, Micah 6:8 tells us that it is to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with our God, to give God the things that are God's, or as one scholar puts it, to give ourselves, to take the sacred trust and invest it in lives of worship. Worship, he says, that sometimes occurs privately in devotion, sometimes in church with others, and the rest of the time in the sphere of our daily work and service. All of this, he writes, is worship. And ultimately, giving ourselves to God means that we give ourselves to the world. So, friends, this morning I ask you, how might we give ourselves to the world in ways that honor the God we serve? What is it that the Lord requires? Perhaps it's through intentional prayer that intercedes and advocates for others. Perhaps it is through being a better neighbor. Maybe it is through sitting with present realities and not being so quick to turn the channel and pretend that it's not happening. Maybe it's through social action that prioritizes the least of these, that amplifies the voices of the oppressed, and that acknowledges when our own words are not particularly helpful. Maybe, friends, it's through acts of resistance, refusing to participate in meaningless back and forth and to instead choose to focus, as Jesus did, and as one scholar puts it, on whatever brings wholeness, transformation, and healing to communities. What this scholar says is perhaps the form of coinage required of disciples in divided times. Perhaps it's even through acknowledging that we are human, and in choosing to stay human. Friends, may we never become so desensitized and used to destruction that we cease to empathize with human life, especially and in particularly in times of destruction and division. And so I'll close here the same way I began. Protect the part of you that still winces at pain. Refuse to become too familiar with tragedy. Our souls were made to stir. Inhale and say, I won't rush from pain. Exhale and say, grief is an honoring. Inhale, I will not become numb. Exhale, I will stay human. With this, friends, I think it is safe to say that the Lord requires of us to give ourselves. To give of ourselves in ways that allow us to be in service to others and to ourselves. But remember that without reflection, we go recklessly on our way, creating more unintended consequences and failing to achieve anything useful. I think we can admit that we've seen this happen too many times already. And lest we go out into the world eager to do something and risk creating more damage, I leave us with these additional questions for reflection. This week, how might you show up for someone else? How might you show up for yourself? In both, how will what you do demonstrate that you bear the image of a God who looks at all of creation, declares it all as good, and sees it all as worthy of life and love? Friends, whatever we do, may it reflect that all of creation matters to God. And when people see us, may they catch glimpses of the divine at work in you and I. Thank you for embracing a moment of reflection. May what began in here continue when we go out there. May it be so. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Asbury First Weekly Sermon. If you enjoyed this message, please visit asburyfirst.org and learn more about our mission to love God and neighbor, to live fully, to serve all, and then repeat.